Welcome to the Straight Jacket Quartet, starring Brian Chris Etherson.
What the hell happened? Did we get, like, mashed together?
Yes.
I'm really confused. So, then I guess also starring Charlie Willy Wonka.
Fuck you. And they call it puppy love.
God.
We have a flowery,
so
life-affirming episode for you this week.
Well, this is all based on something we just found out that we all read on the news. That is what happened to Scooby-Doo recently. We know he was neutered at some point, and they found something for him. And they found it through Penn and Teller.
Yes.
It's called Nudicles.
Penn and Teller, Season 4, the episode entitled Pet Love.
The show's called Bullshit, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's Bullshit.
No, say it right. Penn and Teller's Bullshit.
The episode is entitled Pet Love. And other than the crazy cat ladies and the... Crazy Cat Lady Math. That was kind of funny.
Oh, God.
that was really good. And you guys didn't get to see it, but, of course, the guy who blows glass out of dead animals at the end, that's rather funny. The funniest part...
He blows
part
dead animals?
Yeah, he blows dead animals.
Does he find him on the side of the road and just sees if rig is set in already? And
yeah, no, brings new meaning to necrophilia.
That's a
necropsy and a necrophilia at the same time, I guess. I don't know. But the one thing that I took away from it is some people need to be killed.
Yes.
And yeah, we should be neutering humans.
Yeah.
That's what I got from that episode.
Crazy cat ladies are one thing. Guys who blow glass out of dead animals, another. Guys who make fake testicles for neutered pets.
In other words, ball implants.
Yes.
Yeah.
Called neuticles.
And then fondles dogs.
Yeah, well, yeah, they do get him that one shot in the show where, you know, Penn is doing the, he's dubbing over and talking, and you don't know what's going on in the conversation between the cameraman and interviewer and the guy, but this creepy...
Extremely creepy.
This creepy pedophile...
Oh, nice.
Nice pun.
Nice.
Is petting his dog's ass, then leg, then rolls his hand underneath to cut balls.
Yeah. Like, you know, the way he does it, it's so fucking...
Natural.
It's natural and disturbing. It's like, my God. Well, and the other scenes where he's, like, on all fours running around with the dog, and there's... I could have swore a couple of before they cut, it looked like the dog was about to mount him.
I think he was looking for that.
Trust me. If the dog mounted him, it would have been on the show.
Yeah, probably. Well, you know his favorite South Park episode's got to be Red Rocket.
Yeah. Red Rocket! Red Rocket!
I'm curious if he smeared peanut butter on his asshole.
He's probably done worse.
Oh, God. Ew.
So, turn to the dog. Read my Rooper.
Read my Rooper.
Read my Rooper, Reggie.
I don't know how this is possible, but I forgot that line.
Oh, yeah.
Read my Rooper.
Read my Rooper.
But, yeah, it's just fucking disturbing. You know, he makes testicles for... dogs who've lost their balls to remind them, hey, this is what you lost.
Talk about the genius of writing in that show real quick. They set that completely up because they show the guy with the different types of testicles and he's going through what the texture of them are.
Yeah, now that's another thing is not only did this jackass make fake balls for the dogs, but and it's not just dogs because he's got large size dogs, horses, all kinds of animals that get neutered. Not only did he make the fake balls, he actually researched, somehow, Well, wait, we know how.
Yeah, we saw
yeah,
how.
We saw it.
He researched lots of different animals to get different consistencies.
Excuse me,
and
can I feel your horse's balls?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, did he do that? Or you know, he looks really creepy.
I'll bet you
he just kind of snuck in.
This is a man you never want going to the zoo.
Farmer Brown, Farmer Brown waking up the next day.
Red-ass monkey's balls.
Look at those elephant balls.
Exactly.
God, I need to feel those.
They would look so good on my forehead.
I can make nudicles for it.
Before we delve further into this, my impression balls. Of this, before you told me about it, or while you were telling me about it, before I saw it, and then even after I saw it, was the bottom line to this is the person who's cutting the dog's balls off feels guilty the dog doesn't have balls, and therefore has to make themselves feel better by putting fake balls on their dogs. Or in this guy's case, so he could feel them since they're gone.
Right.
Yes. He can neuter his dog so he doesn't have to worry about the dog going
coming on his face.
Coming on his face, but he can still feel up the dog.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I different perspective on that. The guy claims in the episode that nudicles made worldwide news. Yeah, it actually kind of did. Okay, people in the dog world trying to show off neutered dogs, because you can't show a dog unless it's a stud quality. It has to be able to breed and have issue. Okay, people in the AKC community trying to show neutered dogs needed something under there for the judges to be able to feel. Now, apparently they tried ball bearings. But, of course, the minute they click or clank, you know, you kind of got, that ain't dog balls.
My dog has marbles. Literally.
Marbles. Marbles. Yeah.
Ooh, that was marvelous.
You have no marbles.
Yes. So a product like Nudicles, they did kind of make worldwide attention because the AKC was concerned about this cheater who was making realistic feeling dog balls to
feel so real.
Yeah. And for me.
Thank you for saying that, because that's the
that
exact
was beautiful.
Thought. Yeah.
was beautiful. Other than, that guy, I always thought dog show judges were fucking creepy, because one of the things they do.
I wonder if this guy is one.
You know what?
That.
He could well be. But one of the things they did. Well, I can almost guarantee that after he designed it.
That's why you're not allowed to have a neutered dog in the kennel shows, because they can't feel the balls up.
Oh, there's no balls here. I'm sorry.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's
they
it.
They were getting, it was like blue balls for the human, because he went to go reach for the balls and they weren't there. He's like, no, this is not right.
Yeah.
We got to make this right.
If that guy was a show judge, I seriously doubt he survived past the first time he spent 5 minutes feeling up a dog's balls and said, you know what? I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure. I'll be back in 5 minutes. Comes back with dog fur on his tongue and says, okay, we can continue. yeah. If that didn't get him kicked out, then the design of
and then
did.
All you hear, you know, people who are in, who are away from the judge's tent, all they hear,
Red Rocket! Red Rocket! Red Rocket! Red Rocket!
Wondering why the dog's sitting there going,
Question, did he ever work in a certain pet store in New Jersey?
Yeah, he probably worked for the Tri-Pet.
Yeah, he could well have. Of course, Mickey would have punked down his bitch ass.
Come here, Rich. Hey, remember.
What are you doing? Get off my balls!
He did have nudicles that could have been about mouse size.
Yeah, could have.
He might have.
Could have.
Put your tongue on him. Put your tongue on him! Lick my balls! That's right, jiggling. Now suck the left one into your mouth.
Tastes like ink, don't they?
Look me in the eye.
Look me in the eye.
Don't look me in the eye, bitch. Who's your daddy? Put them both in your mouth.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
So,
He had that fucking pedophile look to him too.
Well, no
pun intended.
This is a guy who, you know, if he moved into my neighborhood,
I'd instantly
he'd be on the sex offender website next to what his thing is. It would be written out as pedophile.
Dude, seriously, if that guy moved into my neighborhood next to me and I had my dog would be wearing a chastity belt.
Every couple nights you'd hear, ting, ting, ow, ow, oh, damn it.
Exactly. So I would have that precaution.
It would definitely be an inside dog at that point.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Yes.
Any animal I owned would be an inside dog. I wouldn't want to own horses. Go out to my stables one day, and my prize stud is standing in the corner, hooves over his cock, looking at me like, don't touch it, don't touch it. Dude, what's wrong with you? Don't touch me. I would never. What happened?
Wait a minute. First of all,
don't touch me, Wilbur.
Yeah. Oh, Wilbur. Well, no, I just find it funny that the story. Nobody denies the credibility of him having talking oars, let alone standing up on its hind legs with its hooves in front of its balls.
I think there are certain horses that would do that. They'd learn to speak human really quick. Dude, you know what just happened? Because this guy looks like he would be one who would go find a dog, cut its balls out, and then put his nudicles in it, and then fondle its nudicles.
We'd have to do before and after.
But you know he would try to do the whole thing. You know, drops your dog back off. Don't worry, he's fixed now. I didn't want him fixed. He's supposed to be studied. Oh, he's fixed. Feels great. His balls were too hard. I made him better.
You know, if Brian's horse could actually talk, the Tijuana show would be just like it'd be all over the news. It'd be on CNN.
Oh,
and
my
the
God.
Horse is like, dude, look, I know you and me did that thing in Tijuana for money so we could buy a house, but you promised that no man would lay his hands on me that way ever again. And I didn't even mind us doing the show with the lady once we got here to this state. That's cool. I like pussy. But you told me no more man touching my dick. And you lied, you motherfucker. So this is what's going to happen. I'm going to cut my own head off and stick it in your bed when you're sleeping.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
I am sorry. I'm just such a sick individual.
Well, no, you had to survive in Tijuana. I understand that. Yeah. So did the horse.
Yeah.
But you said no more Mendick after that.
Now, does the horse sound like Gilbert Godfrey or Bobcat Goldthwait?
Bobcat Goldthwait, yeah.
Oh, shit.
You promised no more. Anymore. Now, what was that? Was that actually Bobcat Goldthwait, or was that Icelandic singer Bjork? You tell me.
Oh, God. Nice reference there.
Yeah, thank you.
Or was
Seth
that
McFarlane.
Dave Mustaine getting his nuts tugged on?
Yeah, that's right. What was it? Cyclotron. Call it the Cyclotron. Da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, cool riff, but, you know, really weird song.
Dave Mustaine, enough said.
What?
Stalker Dave, enough said.
Oh, Stalker Dave. Yeah, but
yeah,
he wasn't.
Hi, I'm buying some organic tofu at the store.
You need to sign up for that again. We need to remind the world of Stalker Dave.
Dude, it stopped on its own, I think.
Because he probably got calls.
That's because the guys who were monitoring the shit that Dave was posting were like, oh, my God, he's coming off as gay. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it now. Oh, my God. How long did we let this go before we check this out? Oh, no, 6 months, a year. Oh, my God, we're fucked. We've ruined Dave Mustaine. No, you can't ruin Dave Mustaine. No, we've ruined Dave. Look, we'll fix it, okay? He's just going to have to come out with a killer monster metal album.
No, you know what it was.
What?
Well, his wife cut off his balls and replaced them with nudicles.
Oh.
And she said they were real feeling, too.
Oh, that's really fucked up.
We love Megadeth.
We do love Megadeth. So.
Yep. But that organic tofu thing was weird.
Yeah, that was really bad. Not to mention the post about the color and consistency of his BM. That was bad. That was definitely bad.
And he sent a P.O. box. If you send a self-addressed stamped box with a bag in it, he could send it to you so you could verify the color and the consistency on your own.
Right, yeah.
Yes, your BM is off.
Didn't that have a link to the YouTube with his proctological exam?
Yes, it did. It did, and it had the...
That's where the came from for that fucking song.
Yeah. I heard that Kirk Hammett's had a proctological exam, too.
It was Lars's dick.
Yeah, it was Lars's dick, exactly.
Oh, they found Lemmy Winks?
Uh-huh. Well, Lemmy Winks and his old tribe.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry.
They found the Battle of the Plains of Palinor.
If you look at all those guys now, Kirk looks the toughest.
I know.
That's scary.
That's sick. I saw a picture of Dave recently.
I'm not talking about fucking all of them. Yeah, Dave Mustaine looks tougher than fucking Kirk Hammett.
Exactly.
I'm talking about all the guys in Metallica. Kirk looks the toughest.
One of the channels that we do actually get is this music series of music channels, right? And one of them is metal. Of course, you'll never find anything by Metallica on that channel.
Thank God.
Right? Everything's on rock. Right? And the other day, they were doing Hero of the Day, which barely belongs on rock. Right? But they were putting up the Flash little trivia about the band and different people in the band. Apparently, Lars wanted to be a tennis player.
So he could have sex in the shower with his opponent.
Before he thought of being a drummer.
Until he found out they start wearing looser shorts.
Right. Yeah, that could be.
I thought he was wanting to wear the skirt.
He changed in the shower. He changed his mind when he found out they wouldn't let him wear the skirt on the court.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, he does.
That's why he got so pissed on the year one video when he ran out and shot the drums. They tried to cut it to make it look like the kid who was saying the "Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep" bit. And Enter Sandman was what pissed him off. Mm-hmm. It was just, he got turned down.
Yeah, I didn't even realize he was faking being pissed off about the kid.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I know, because it's intercut, so it just looks like, you know, he gets pissed off and storms off, and then all of a sudden he runs in and takes a shotgun.
Well, I couldn't deal with the fact that this guy kind of, like, took our stuff and made it his own, and we didn't get, like, money for it.
That's not bad.
Oh, that's
fucking not bad at all.
It was totally improvised.
The only thing he's short of is the fucking lisp.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so... like,
perfect.
Piss us off.
It's done.
There he's got done.
Oh, boy, I got to add Lars to my resume.
Yeah, got Lars. Hey, dude, that was impressive.
Damn right.
That was you thought about it, you went for it, and you fucking pulled it off.
Well,
you
channeled the voices I do on this show suck, so
it's about time you hit on one, you know. Yeah,
what was
works.
One more if it was bad.
The sad part is I always laugh about this because your Walter's impression is terrible. But you came up with him. I mean, that's unbelievable.
You know how many takes it took to do that on the previous episode?
Yeah, exactly.
It was like 20 takes.
Yeah, because, let's see. There was that, you know, I said Walter Walters, and he did that shitty-ass Sean Connery. You know, I said Walter Walters. He did a really bad Alec Baldwin. I said Walter Walters. He did the worst impression I've ever heard of Jesus Christ. You know, and it's like, come on, man. Walter
Walters.
Yeah,
fell through the water.
You made it. No, you know, all jokes aside, dude, that was really good. That definitely add that to your repertoire.
Like, thank you. And, like, the next time we, like, you know, tour, I'll be sure to, you know, like, sign my name on a jock strap for you. And come.
Oh, my God.
Nice. Yeah. So, it's a new one on our repertoire right there.
Yeah.
You know what? I really you do heard think it first. That we have gone everywhere on this episode. Like, usually we're all over the place. I think this one transcends to everywhere.
The right. Kitchen sink's following behind us, so, you know, we're good.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, the great thing is that, like, when Metallica's done, I know that I'll have a job here amongst you guys.
That's scary.
You know, I would never, ever, ever allow Metallica on this show to be interviewed unless I got outvoted. If I got outvoted,
I'd vote for it.
I would
pay
never,
him to vote for it.
I would never
just so I could ask him what the fuck happened.
Oh, yeah. Dude. I'd interview him with my hair down, so what the fuck happened?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I would try to be a little more diplomatic about it and give him a chance to really sell it to me. Sell me what...
Am I allowed to at least hold a bottle of...
Jack Daniels.
Of Jack Daniels in front of Hetfield, just like...
Fuck that, man. If I gotta have him on the show, right, I'm going to get an IV stand... And I'm going to hook up a Jack Daniels bottle upside down with an IV running out of it. And I'm going to put it right next to James's chair.
With the needle ready and everything. All you have to do is stick it and tape it.
Right? On the wall in front of them, right? Because I'm going to make sure that there's empty space on the other side of them. On the wall in front of them, I'm going to have a bottle of Jack Daniels and their original four albums underneath it.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I'm going to have a half-empty bottle of Jack Daniels sitting over top of Load and Reload.
No. Black Album.
And the Black Album. Thank
no,
you.
Just the Black Album.
Oh, just the Black Album.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's okay. still was some drink in there.
Right. Then I'm going to take a bottle of Jack Daniels. I'm going to put a quarter of whiskey in it, and then I'm going to fill it up halfway with water. All the way with water, and I'm going to put that
load.
Over top of Load and Reload.
No, load.
Just load.
Reload, just put a dick in a bottle.
Just put a dick.
Well, I was going to say, St. Anger, just put a bottle of milk next to it.
Well, yeah, by the time we get to, by the time, the idea yeah. was, by like, the time we got to St. Anger, it's an empty fucking bottle of Jack. Okay, and it's just like, and the cock would go after St. Anger.
Like, we were really upset when we found out that, you know, years later, when James was, like, you know, sober all that time, that, you know, the Jack Daniels supply in the world, you know, didn't actually run out all the way. And we were
nice
like,
hair flip.
Yeah, I love that.
Thank you.
The mannerism
I know for radio.
The mannerism is definitely helping with the voice. That's really good.
I don't want to beat that one to death. I want to keep that for a rainy day.
Exactly.
Oh my god.
But yeah, and
we,
you know,
we
for your
off
for your
dog
di-
if I'm
for your dildo
stop doing it though.
Right for your dildo thing. The
maybe
plan,
that was a little over the top.
Yeah. Well, no, because the dildo is actually a good idea.
Oh, you mean the dildo in the bottle?
Right. Not the bottle. Keep the bottle thing that I came up with consistent across the board. Just varying levels of alcohol in the bottle to signify that when there's no alcohol, okay, you guys really suck. And maybe, you know, we'll have the bottle by itself for the first four albums. Okay? The bottle's pretty much empty for
I think you're overcomplicating this.
Yeah.
All right, there's four great albums, right?
Right.
One middle of the road, acceptable but not on the level of metal album.
Right.
One, if it wasn't attached to the Metallica album, it was pretty good. I'm going to be objective here. I don't like the album because I'm a metal fan.
Right.
And when I see a Metallica album, I expect metal, hence the root of the word. But Load, if it was done by, say, Blink-182, I would have been like, that was genius.
Maybe we can find a couple of gay guys, okay, and have them do somebody draw this for us, like a political cartoon. That would probably be better.
Well,
draw a dick, right, and write Metallica on it, and then draw an ass with the dick going up it and write the fans.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The real fans. I mean, yeah. I don't berate anybody for liking newer Metallica. That's fine. If you like that, that's good. But
Fran,
Well, nobody liked that album.
TikTok.
But what I'm getting at here is you're overcomplicating the scale. There's four great albums, right?
Yes.
Four bottles on the first one, three bottles on the second one, two bottles on the first one, so it's scale.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nah, that's not bad. But definitely let them know. You know, by the end, they are sucking dick and ramming it up their fans' ass. Mm-hmm. The original fans.
The people that got them where they are.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is the people who got you to where you are. And they bitched in the 90s. They were like, you know, oh, well, you know, our original fans are getting older, and we want to infuse ourselves with new blood. Slayer never, ever changed format.
Well,
not for any reason.
The other three on the big four. Slayer never changed. Never backed down. Megadeth.
There was the experimental album.
Wait. Let him finish.
Megadeth didn't change that much.
True. Yes, they did.
They did, but not on the scale of Metallica.
You said let him finish, so let him get all four, all of them.
Well, no, I meant for
Megadeth.
Shut up. No, you shut up.
Shut up.
Like, I don't have to take this.
Shut up.
I could just leave and, like, go on tour or something for, like, 2 years.
Lars, please suck on your drumsticks for a while.
I can't, reach it, or I'd, never leave the house.
Anyways, okay.
But you've got Megadeth, who did, he went through some changes, but not as severe
as
Metallica, especially going in just a straight down
curve.
Not
as permanent, I think, is the best way to describe it.
And Anthrax.
Anthrax did have a change, basically, with new singer, but it was mainly, catering to his style, which, he's proven to be good because he's come, he's actually come back.
Actually, the original singer.
No, he's gone again.
Yeah, he's
gone
again.
Yep. Right after the Big Four tour.
Yep.
I mean, the Big Four show.
From what I understand, Belladonna came back, and he's gone again, and he was replaced by the guy who replaced him.
Yeah. John Bush from Saint or something like that.
I don't know who it was because, when they did the initial change, I didn't want to listen to him anymore. And I'm pretty much back to that because something about their music with Belladonna's voice was what worked for me with the band.
Yeah.
I like Sound of White Noise, the album.
Yeah, see, I didn't particularly care for it.
Two songs on that album, and I can't listen to the
actually,
rest,
no, I can't lie. I have to be honest. Because it didn't have Joey Belladonna, I didn't even give it a fucking chance. I heard one or two. I heard that one popular song, the
Only.
Yeah, on MTV, back when they still played M.
Yeah.
And I just was like, oh, that's not Belladonna. This sucks now. And, yeah, maybe I'm a dickhead. I don't know.
I saw him with both singers. I saw him with Belladonna second, and I saw him with John Bush or
whatever his name is. Yeah, my memory might have failed that.
I enjoyed myself more at the first show, which was with John Bush. Belladonna, I was...
See, I've only ever seen Anthrax live once. It was 1990, Clash of the Titans. Yeah, go ahead. Keep counting. Yeah.
Just three.
Three years old.
And it was Belladonna, and I liked the show. I mean, I got more into Anthrax. I liked a couple of things from Anthrax at the time we saw that show. But, there were other things. Like, I didn't know about Cry for the Indians. And that was, the second or third song they played. They opened with Time because they had the clock running, and it was really, they had this huge prop clock, and
it was
running
off the
with
album
slow
cover.
Hand.
Oh, yeah.
And, it started, the clicking started getting a lot faster and faster and faster. And then Scott Ian come out, and that was the first time anybody saw him with shaved head, from what I understand.
No, he had it for a while.
Okay. But he come out with shaved head and a long goatee, and he's just playing this simple freaking drive on the E. Dun, 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 dun. And he held it out. He played it
for
a few revolutions. Well, he's moshing around the stage, and it's like...
Scotty and the true one-man mosh.
Yeah, and then, of course, then they break in, they break into dun, 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 and it's just getting more powerful, and I'm just like, oh.
That's definitely, that, especially that album, because they played a majority of that album on that tour.
Yes.
Is one of those albums that was really good on cassette, because that's how far back this goes, but to really get how great that album was to hear most of it live. It was like, holy shit.
Yeah, I heard him. I heard them. Actually, both guys do Got the Time and...
cover song now.
Yeah, there's much of that album now. Because that one also has Keep It in the Family.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand the LP version. I've got to hear the live version that was off of Attack of the Killer Bees.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot stand the because that one song, Charlie had that album.
Okay? I had it before it came out.
Right. And he let me listen to, you know, he played it. And the only song that really jumped out and grabbed me was Time. You know, and I also liked Hatred,
and Belly of the Beast,
Belly of the Beast, Intro to Reality,
Intro to Reality because of the guitar.
Right,
so it was instrumental.
So those songs.
Well, that's part of Belly of the Beast.
Right, and at the time, really, you know, now that I think back to it, and he reminded me, Belly of the Beast and Time were the two big ones for me. I the other ones I could deal with, but like, Keep It in the Family did not even jump into my imagination until Charlie again got Attack of the Killer Bees, and he's playing it around, and the live version of Keeping the Family is so much better. I mean, than the original LP version. So
I like just the concept of it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, and I honestly, I'll admit, you know, I do like Belladonna's era of Anthrax as well. I just prefer the other guy a little more.
What turned me off of that album, which was The Sound of White Noise, was that it was more rap, white guys trying to rap, than it was white guys trying to play metal.
Right.
And I think that's what turned me off of it. There was two songs in there I loved. I loved Potter's Field, which was the opening track, I believe, and then Black Lodge, which was kind of like a melodic ballady type tune. The rest of it I could not listen to. I tried.
Now, see, I loved it because, like, when they played Sodium Pentothal off of that album at the show.
Yeah, the titles for these songs sound really cool. Maybe I might have to give this album an opportunity.
You should. It's actually good. But when they played Sodium Pentothal.
Way to sell it, sweetie. Were you trying to get a little Lars there? Oh, my God.
Well, you know, the vibe is in the air.
The vibe is in the air. Charlie, put it away.
Oh, damn it.
Okay, but the vibe's out of the air now.
You know. There's a part where the drummer kicks in with just double pace the kick pedals real quick.
Uh-huh.
You know, when he did that, the fucking crowd exploded. You know, when they played Room for One More, well, that was pretty much the idea of the pit. There's always room for one more. By the time the song was over, the whole building was the pit.
Wow. Now, okay. Now, back to what you were saying, because I know we're running a little long here and we want to run a little longer.
Because Nudicles leads into
because
Metallica.
Because Nudicles leads in, right.
Maybe that's Metallica, what really happened.
Out of the big four, Metallica has changed the most. Megadeth experimented with the Risk album on Change. And since the Risk album, there have been big differences between their new stuff and old stuff. But they have not forgotten their roots. They still put at least one or two powerful metal anthems on each one of their albums.
And like, I mean, ass-kicking, like, Holy War's worthy,
yeah,
era
like,
worthy.
What was it?
Washington is Next, Sleepwalkers.
Which album had the song Kick the Chair?
That was The System Had Failed.
The System Had Failed? The System Has Failed, the first song, Blackmail the Universe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an awesome song, but in my opinion, Kick the Chair is so much more Megadeth. I love that more.
I just like both of them. They're both fantastic
good.
Songs.
Yeah.
But see, the problem with their newer albums are there's one or two, three, maybe four gems on it, and then the rest I could never touch again.
I tend to agree with that. The others are kind of like listen to on occasion.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Just to remind yourself that they could have gone really bad.
I mean, with the exception of United Abominations, which absolutely tanked except for a couple of the songs.
Right. Now, as far as Anthrax goes, I can't comment too much on them because I don't own any Anthrax albums anymore. And honestly, I never bought anything after... I did at one point have Persistence of Time and Killer Bees. But I never bought anything pre those two and post those two, so I can't really comment. But I do know that the Sound of White Noise was a huge experiment because there was a rap, more of a rap feel.
Well, there's, it was a new singer, a new style of singer.
Right.
But he definitely proved his, you know, proved himself.
Well, obviously, to me, he can't sing.
Obviously.
Well, no, to me, you're, sorry to cut you off.
No, that's okay.
You guys saying that it has more of a rap feel, I don't fully see it now. I know some of it has, like, I don't want to say has a cadence of rap, but it, you know, it doesn't fully scream rap,
right?
To me,
well, not fully, no, but no. It leans more towards it.
Dost thou not knoweth who beareth the mark of Cain, where it concerns the modern age of rap metal?
Well,
Anthrax.
Well, yeah, they
Anthrax
were the first.
Anthrax are considered the progenitors of modern rap metal.
Well, yeah, because they did the song with Chuck with Public Enemy.
No, actually, well,
actually
I'm
yeah,
the Law 91 was first, I think.
Oh, yeah, I'm the Man.
I'm the man. Yeah, the I'm the Law or I'm the Man.
Yeah, that
it was the
like
rap version.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they did that, and then right after it was with Public Enemy.
It was with
Bring
Public
the
Enemy,
Noise.
Bring the
yeah,
Noise.
Bring the Noise.
Which was a cool fucking song.
Oh, yeah.
But that was more metal than rap.
That was more metal than
but
rap.
See, it's not the style of singing. It's not the cadence of the song. It's how hard punching the instruments that are actually present in it are versus maybe an electronic overlay or yeah. something of that
now,
nature.
To me, a lot of, there are a couple songs in there that definitely you get a hard punch from.
Yeah.
You know, the actual most popular song, If Only, or Only, you know, had a real strong, especially for the drums. Later,
do me a favor, Chris.
Yes.
You're going to be down in the DC area next week.
Bring,
I will try and remind you. Bring all of your Anthrax with you.
Okay. Well, I've only got Persistence of Time and then Sound of White Noise. And
okay, I need your Persistence of Time anyways because the copy that he gave me has too many bad songs on it.
I think mine's too
you,
fucked
you
up.
You put a copy on to my iPod,
mm-hmm.
and Time doesn't work.
Oh, I thought you meant the songs
others.
Were bad.
Yeah.
Not,
no,
yeah,
the songs,
they don't play.
Yeah, they don't play. And maybe yours, maybe I can delete those and put yours on, and I'll actually, because I love the song Time.
I'll have to see, because I think mine's a little too fucked up now.
Okay. Well, oh well. But,
so, no, not that.
Yeah, any yeah, we're back. Not that you guys noticed a pause, but we did.
Yes, the brain fart that we have is infinitesimal
yeah,
but infinite for us.
Sideline conversation that really didn't need to be taped. Charlie, I apologize.
All right.
I will clean up your son's picture post haste.
Dude, that is just wrong.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That is really.
I would never
wrong.
Do that.
Well, he remembers
I
threw something at his nuts last time, yeah. And I've got the almighty stopwatch.
The almighty
oh
stopwatch.
Shit!
now, as far as
that'll be like miniature golf.
As far as the Big Four in, and I don't know if either of you know this, but you know, not to take anything away, not to just degrade Anthrax, Metallica, and Megadeth, Slayer also experimented. Now, they've changed the least. Since
yeah,
the original Big Four came out, but they did experiment at one point. It was the album that came out with, I think it was called Undisputed Attitude. It was all punk metal covers.
Yeah.
That's different.
That was their only.
But that was
deviance.
Really, yeah, that was a deviation from what they normally did. There's only one song on there, and it's a Slayer original. There's only one song that I really like hearing from Slayer. The rest of the stuff, for me, not being a huge fan of punk, the album tanked. If it hadn't been for Gemini, I would have been pissed. But when they experimented, they just decided, let's see how sloppy feels.
Yeah.
You know, because that's my opinion of punk music, is it's sloppy. But, you know, now that we've beat this dead horse's testicles into the nudicles. Into mush, give
which
us a call.
Lars is licking up right now.
Like,
right?
I take personal offense to that. And next time you say something like that about, like, me or my bandmates, just, like, leave it home.
Lars likes testicles.
I don't
Lars
like.
Likes testicles.
I don't like how you're talking to me.
I'm
you talk
gonna, I'm
to me that way again,
you.
And I'll stab you in the eye.
No,
with
you're,
a soldering
you're threatening
iron.
Me.
Shut up, Lars!
You're threatening me.
Don't make me come over there and bitch slap you.
and like,
Lars, you haven't bought enough of my dump bins, you little fuck.
I don't need them because Kirk is the loose one.
I've taken shits bigger than you, boy.
Jesus Christ, I cannot believe that you guys let this asshole into your show.
What do you have against me? I'm like from Copenhagen.
Sure. Yeah. I think you're really retarded. You're so gay, you fucked a metal band. Like, and you fucked him in the wrong way.
Lars, you know? Lars over here is the only man I have ever known to drink my man junk.
And
he's licked my balls tart, in my yard.
You know? It had like a tangy, like, you know, like sour milk. Like,
son, if you don't start drinking something, I'm going to come over there and stop a mud hole on your ass, damn it.
Who are you, like you?
Stone Cold Steve Austin, goddammit, don't you know WrestleMania just happened? Yeah. My new show, Tough Enough's out there.
You've taken one too many hits to the head, Steve. That was quite a while ago now.
Remember, I got a steel plate in the damn neck, my damn neck, just because some stupid ass doesn't know how to do a damn job.
Exactly. All right, before we beat this one too far into
I got more.
Yeah, you got more, I got more, he got more, but eventually we got to cut it because we got to get done here.
Leave me hanging here.
Give us a call at our non-existent number or Lars.
If you want to, email us at, straightjacketquartet@, comcast.net, we'll only do it, our way. If you email us, we'll, send you a picture of, legs walking away from the camera.
Or Steve.
Hit us up at straightjacket. I read the wrong thing. quartetstraightjacket@yahoo.com. And that's the bottom line. Because Stone Cold said so.
Where else can they get it, Mickey?
Damn it, I said that's the bottom line.
Well, you can also find this wonderful man on Lars on iTunes on the Zoom.
Who the hell is this damn German queer?